All right. I will call this hearing of the Judiciary Finance and Civil Law Committee to order. Today is April 18th, 2024. We do have a quorum. First item on the agenda is the minutes. Representative Curran.
Thank you, Chair. I move the minutes.
All right. Representative Curran moves the minutes of April 16th, 2024. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The minutes are approved. My staff is too good to me, and it's my last day chairing a regularly scheduled hearing. You never know what's going to happen, so kind of anticlimactic. But my awesome staff has got us donuts and coffee this morning, so everyone, please help yourself. I was going to say this at the end, but I will say it now. I have been incredibly lucky throughout this entire time to have amazing staff, both partisan and nonpartisan. Also, we'll give a shout out to Rachel Ganani and Ellen McDaniel, who worked with my committee last biennium, but not a lot of people have the same staff for many years in this place, and I have been lucky, especially to have Anna as my LA and then as my CA throughout the year. So it's been very fortunate, and as another member noted when he came in, the staff are their job is to make us look good, and they do a damn good job most of the time. So unless we screw it up, so enjoy the donuts, and we'll get down to business. So I will move to re-refer House File 5245 to the Ways and Means Committee. This is our Judiciary Finance omnibus. And then I will move to adopt the DE3 amendment. So the DE3 is in front of us. We do have a couple of amendments I want to run through first, and then we'll have staff walk through the DE3 as amended. So I will move the A1 amendment to the DE3. We had just had missed a changing an effective date, so just want to update that so it is workable per MMB and everyone involved. So that is the A1 amendment. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. And then Representative Feist, you have the A3 amendment. Would you like to move it and then tell us what that does?
Yes, so moved, Madam Chair.
All right. And then Representative Feist, if you could tell us what the A3 does.
Yes. So this is the policy portion of House File 3991. It encourages courts to use restorative restitution where it is available, and it allows funding that we created last year through the restorative practices grants to be used for this purpose.
Yep. And we did not. So it's not everything that was in House File 3991, but the workable pieces that we were able to do this year. So I encourage a yes vote. Any discussion to the A3? All right. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? All right. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. And Mr. Walls, you ready to go through the DE3? It is not as lengthy. The numbers are not as big as last year, but still important. Mr. Walls, please go ahead.
Madam Chair and members, you should have a one-page spreadsheet in your packet, and this represents essentially the appropriations in Article 1. And so I will just begin by saying you can see at the bottom our targets were $36 million for this current biennium and $3 million in tails, and we are at those targets. And I will start at the top under Supreme Court. On line 5, we have $500,000 for safe and secure courthouse grants. And we also included on line 6, enhancing cybersecurity at $1.75 million per year for 2 years. Moving down to line 12, we have civil legal services. This is to show that the appropriation had been made previously under the Supreme Court, and they will be leaving the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court and becoming their own separate entity, and they will be the Board of Civil Legal Aid. And so this is showing, you can see under fiscal year 26 on line 14, the removal of that money from the Supreme Court of $34,167,000 per year. And so the total appropriation for the Supreme Court is on line 18, and it is $4 million for the current biennium. Moving down to the district courts on line 20, on line 23, we have expanded access to forensic examiners. This is $26,319,000 for the biennium, There is a provision in the rider that allows this money to be available till the end of next biennium, so it expires on June 30th of calendar year 2027. On line 24, we have a pay rate increase of $125 an hour to $136 an hour. This is for the forensic examiners, and that is $1,070,000 beginning in fiscal year 25 and continuing on in the tails. On line 25, we have ensuring access to court interpreters. This is a two-year appropriation to get them through this biennium shortfall of $1.29 million per year. On line 26, we have a pay rate increase for the interpreters of $65 an hour is the current rate. We're increasing that to $75 an hour, and this costs $235,000 per year, beginning in fiscal year 25 and continuing on. Madam Chair, on line 27, we have court interpreter paid travel time. This is $170,000 beginning in fiscal year 25 and continuing on. On line 28, we have a two-year appropriation for a jury deficit. This carries no tails, but it will provide $788,000 per year for the current fiscal year and next fiscal year. On line 29, we include $25,000 for trauma services at the district courts, and this is a continuing appropriation. Madam Chair, going down to line 35, I previously mentioned that the bill creates a new board of civil legal aid, and this shows the money on line 38 that is being removed from the Supreme Court budget and being given to them as their own budget. And Madam Chair, that basically completes all the appropriations, and you can see that they total to our targets.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Walls. Any questions to the spreadsheet? All right. Then we will move on to Mr. Johnson and walk us through the DE3 as amended, mostly covered in the spreadsheet, but Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I can be very brief on this one. Article 2, which starts on page 4, the very top of page 4 of the DE amendment, this article contains the creation of the Board of Civil Legal Aid. As Mr. Walls indicated, this is currently under the Supreme Court, and decisions over the civil legal aid program are made by an advisory council under the Supreme Court. This is getting pulled out, and it will be its own entity. This was House File 3860. So the structure is similar to the Guardian Ad Litem Board and the Board of Public Defense. It also makes some changes to the distribution of funds, the timing of those funds, and some changes to the eligibility for legal services. That's in Section 6 of Article 2. I'm going to move to Article 3. Article 3 starts at the top of page 8. This is House File 5013. These are changes to the Safe at Home program. As members likely remember, the Safe at Home program is a program for individuals who essentially are the target of domestic abuse or similar things, and they need to keep their home address safe and private. The first three sections of that article allow individuals who are outside of Minnesota but intending to move to Minnesota to enter that program before making that move. The final two sections allow the fourth section allows individuals who have another address, for example, some property owned through a trust or an LLC that would then link back to their home address to also use the Safe at Home program. And the final section is a technical clarification that discusses the ability to have the public government data about a participant classified as private. Finally, Madam Chair, the A3 amendment added the provisions of House File 3991 that Representative Feist discussed before. As indicated, the pieces that had a financial impact are removed, and all that's left are the restitution portions. That's the walkthrough.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Before we move on to member discussion, we do have a couple people available for questions later on, but I didn't have anyone signed up to testify. I think I know almost everybody in the audience right now, but are there members of the public wishing to testify on this bill? All right, seeing none, we will then move on to member discussion. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I just wanted to thank you for your leadership of the committee, and I wish you well in your retirement, whatever that may entail. So I'm sure we probably haven't seen the last of you. This is my guess, but maybe, I don't know, maybe you're running as far away as you can. I don't know.
Maybe just this summer.
All right. I did have a question, and I didn't see anybody here from Civil Legal Services, but I had a question at the bottom of page 4. And I don't remember, I questioned whether I remembered the original bill and looked it up yesterday and couldn't see, it appears that the per diem piece, is that new language from the original bill that set up the State Board of Civil Legal Aid?
We do have. They're sitting behind you.
Oh, okay. I was looking for somebody else.
Okay. We've got someone from Mid Minnesota Legal Aid here.
Okay, perfect.
So please introduce yourself and proceed.
Dan Morris. I'm actually with Central Minnesota Legal Services.
Sorry.
Sister organization of Mid Minnesota Legal Aid. I believe. I'm not sure, Representative Scott. Thank you for the question. I'm not entirely sure if that was in the original one or not. I know that part of the Legal Services Advisory Committee as it's currently comprised has client eligible board members on that. And in order to facilitate low-income individuals from across Minnesota participate in the decision-making processes related to civil legal services, there can be certain barriers to that, and that is the purpose for the per diem and the discussions around this statute.
I think Ms. Davis. He got it. Okay. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So Mr. Morris is right. So what is the per diem amount right now that's being paid to these folks?
I believe it follows the general statute, which I believe is $55 per day. And I think that the new civil legal board would be able to evaluate that and the effectiveness and set its own per diem that would be reflective of the needs of the board.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just have a little bit of heartburn over the per diem in excess of the amount provided by law, and I don't know how often that's done around here, but every dollar matters, and so it's really stuck out to me. So I don't know if anybody else has any staff or anybody else has any comments on how often that might be done, but it was flagged for me, so.
Doesn't look like it.
No. All right.
All right. Any further questions, Representative Scott?
No.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
Chair Becker Finn, again, want to thank you for the work you've done this year. We always haven't seen eye to eye, but we have the same goal in mind, trying to do what's best for the state, to hold those accountable that commit crime, and provide the services that the citizens of the state need. Sometimes we have different ways to do that. But Representative Feist, I want to thank you for this part of it. It's unfortunate that we have to go this road because law enforcement, especially for youth, especially when I was an officer, we did this without getting the kids into the system at all. We'd work with the parents. Unfortunately, we have a lot of parents that aren't parents anymore. They're friends. They're not being parents and holding their kids accountable when they do wrong things. So this is a way to try to keep them out of the system, out of the system better. Like I say, it's unfortunate that law enforcement can't do that on the front end anymore, so they don't even get, their names don't even get in the system at all, and being able to work with parents and those that commit nonviolent crime so that they can learn from their mistakes without having to have their names in the court records. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Johnson. And I'll say I'm also supportive of the efforts of that bill. Just in a supplemental budget year, we didn't have a big enough target to cover that. So I'm guessing this isn't the last you've heard from Representative Feist on this issue. Any further discussion to the bill? All right. I will renew my motion to adopt the DE3 amendment as amended. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. And now I will renew my motion to refer House File 5245 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. That concludes our regularly scheduled work. It is, yeah, I know. I could have had you come in at 9 o'clock. Sorry. You never know. So all further meetings will be at the call of the chair, so you can delete that off your calendar if it isn't already. Representative Feist.
I just wanted to say thank you so much, Madam Chair, for your leadership of this committee. It's been awesome serving under you. I so appreciate your, like, principled, philosophical, like, focused, like, just strategic approach to how we allocate funding to ensure greater access to justice in Minnesota. So thank you so much. We're going to miss you.
Vice Chair Frazier.
I'm going to add on to that. I just want to thank you. It's been an honor to serve as your vice chair. And you've served with a sense of morality I think should be applauded. And I think that you also represent explicitly why representation matters in the way that you've shown up and represented here for your community. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you, Vice Chair. And shout out to my previous Vice Chair, now Chair Moeller. So I've, again, been very fortunate to be surrounded by good, principled people, both staff and members on this committee. So with that, we are adjourned.